Tom, you want me to take this over then?
I do.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll call a regular meeting to order. Public comment. I always say items that are not on the agenda, questions, comments, concerns. Can I tell who's on this right now?
You can. There's your list. You got Scott Bucher, Jake is our guy. John Olson's on.
Just want to know if any attorneys are on there. All right, great. All right.
So we switched to Zoom. We're going to try that out today.
Correct.
How'd it go getting set up?
Tom, how you doing on Zoom right now?
I'm doing good.
Good. Well, we can hear you well, which I had a problem with the audio.
Seems to be a lot better.
Okay, no public comment. The conflict of interest. Yeah, we did. Mike, anything for you today other than ongoing or?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything on the agenda.
Okay. Tom, any conflicts?
Nothing.
Yeah, I just have the usual when we talk about different things, you know, for well exploration and down the line, but nothing out of the ordinary. All right, then we'll go to the consent agenda. And that is a global motion for the consent agenda, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda that includes the minutes from the July 21st regular meeting.
I'll second.
I'm sorry, I'll entertain the motion.
I'll move.
So you don't
be the first.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Who is the second?
Just trying to get this right in case Marlene is watching.
Yeah, I agree.
Where is Marlene?
She's on vacation.
Okay.
Who was the second on that?
I was.
Okay.
Tom.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. We had is Mike Wilsinski on? Did I see
that,
Mike?
Yes, Mike is on.
Yeah.
Okay, and you voted in favor?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried unanimously. All right. Business action items. Ron?
All right. So we do this every year in August. We do our final levy certificate, which gets mailed to the county treasurer. And it's based on a couple things. The taxable value of the district, and we get statements from the Department of Revenue for four things. We've got a water and sewer jurisdictional area, which describes the areas paying into the bonds for water projects, sewer projects. We get one of those for each county, so we get the four statements. There's copies enclosed in the board packet. And then we do these certificates every year, which get approved by the board, and then carry it and goes on to the county. The second piece of this is based on the SRF loan amortizations we've got. So there's a certificate in the board packet in the financial section. There's a clip of it in my report. So it includes the debt service payments for January and July of 2021. And it's coupled against the mill rate and taxable values. So the total tax would be 46.18 mills. Last year we were 45.21. So we're almost dead even. 2% increase from a year ago. And then I have summary tables in my report, which kind of shows where we've been over time and taxable values for those sewer and water jurisdictional areas. It's all FYI stuff for your benefit. Perry, do you want to add anything?
No, you covered it well.
You let the hair fly today.
Oh, it's been a work in progress.
I'm jealous.
It has been. There's a story with them.
Okay. Questions, comments? Approve final tax levy certification. And that'd be a separate item then from approved delinquent accounts,
yes.
List, correct?
Yep.
All right.
And then you need to get a signature on this thing.
Yeah, I need Tom's signature and Dick's signature. Dick will be back in town tomorrow.
I'll get his tomorrow, and Tom, I can email this to you. You can email it back to me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll entertain a motion then.
I'll move that we approve the tax levies for water and sewer for 2020.
Okay.
Second.
Mike Wilsinski had a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carried, unanimous.
Who's our, Mike W.
Mike was the second.
Who was the first?
Tom.
Tom, okay.
Okay.
All right, and then the second one is our delinquent account list. Terry, I'll let you describe this. This is also annual business stuff we do every year.
There's 41 accounts on there right now. I expect to have a number of more of our customers pay their fee before I turn it over to the county on September 1st. However, I do need the board to approve the list as it is, and they'll go to the county for collection on the tax roll.
Okay.
And you usually get some of these paid out before they actually hit the tax roll.
Right. Before September, I turn them over on September 1st. Between now and September 1st, we'll get a number of payments and they'll be removed from the list.
Right.
Okay. Discussion?
That's just standard operating procedure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's make sure none of us are on there.
Yeah. it makes our accounts receivable 100%.
Brian.
Boy, auto pay is a wonderful thing.
And
strike that comment.
I was thinking the list would be much longer and the amount much more, but it really is about typical, I'd say, isn't it? Very.
Yes, it is. Well, this year over prior years, I did limit what I sent out to accounts under or over $100. So there was a number of accounts that are $45 that we didn't get payment for, but
we're $28,000.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'll make a motion to. Go ahead. Do we need a motion on that?
Yep.
I'll make a motion that we pursue our accounts receivable through the tax roll.
Okay. Second.
I'll second it.
Trot is the second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. All right. Takes us on to old business.
That gets us down to the wastewater treatment plant project. Scott Bucher, you're on the call.
Yep. We hit our 90. We dragged Ron and Grant and others through a 2-hour design workshop. I would like to set of plans up there. I can bring some more up. Ron dropped the recording of that workshop. If anybody's interested, he can also, at any time, if anybody is curious for kind of a fly through with Youngworth, we can do that. We're now trying to wrap up that process from the 90 to 100 and get Perlinski and DEQ their submittal on September 4th. It's looking good. I mean, I'm happy with meeting the schedule, and we feel really good about the design. It is recalibrated our cost estimation based on Belgrade, and depending on alternates, we could see bids from low 30s up to 45 million if you took all four bid alternates, which I don't think we'll do, but we've got them in there as a way to control budget. When we bid it, we'll have to announce what your budget is so that we select the bid alternates accordingly and the contractor fairly.
keep that in mind as we move towards bid. We are working fast and furious to get Survey and Geotech on the BSCO side of the area over there. I think a lot of you probably have heard, but they are building they would have to build a retaining wall and a maintenance building next year anyway. So they've asked to share resources on the retaining wall. And Ron's got a photo of the style that we're headed towards. It's essentially would serve as shoring during construction. It's called a soldier pile wall, but it looks nice enough, in my opinion, that becomes your retaining wall. And if this all works out, we would continue that wall across the back of your property behind the basins over onto BSCO property. And everybody is communicating well and helping each other out. And potentially we would modify the boundary between the two a little bit to open things up for you all for the long term. Because if you remember, things are kind of pinched on that west side. You end up with basically an alley of access to get back behind your plant, which was doable, but you know, nobody loved it. It's just tight, and so there's kind of a lot of win-wins here. But TDNH will be out there surveying and getting the geotech, and then our structurals would work with them to bring the wall across onto BSCO property.
Hey, can I ask you a quick question, or maybe give you just a quick heads up on it? BSOA, they don't review this, right?
No.
It's right at that line. BSCO called me.
I should qualify that. We're out of the BSOA with the treatment plant site. We have given them courtesy reviews of our stuff in the past, but I believe the park is in the BSOA. So anything that's going to go on to the park area would be under their
purview. Here's the reason why. We're running into a substantial issue right now with the BSOA and BSAC. Ironically, you know, I've chaired it for 20 plus years and I'm getting off next month after 27 years. So I just want to be clear on this. I, as stunned as I am over some issues that are going on with that Meadowview project and the pile of dirt, which seems to be the biggest issue they have right now on their plate, I would be I would encourage the BSCO to coattail what you're doing here just because of the fee structure and so on. And I see Laura Seafang, I think, up there. She probably could attest to parts of this. But let's just make sure that we somehow help the BSCO if we can get through this process without getting caught up. I mean, just as an example, there's over $200,000 in performance deposits over at the Meadowview site right now, just deposits. And they want to add an additional $27,500. That just doesn't seem right. So let's make sure that we put this in the right package together. Not trying to hide anything, but it's just good housekeeping. Plus, I don't know if I got to tell you, that wall might have some scrutiny to it. They like 4 foot terracing and all these things that could add expense. So work with Adam. He called me on this last week.
Yeah, you know, we've been meeting with Adam, and like Scott said, the communication lines are very good and clear with the BSCO on this.
Yeah.
BSOA, we have not talked to them at all at this point.
Yeah, Scott or Ron, is there some advantages to this particular wall as opposed to the gabion wall?
Great question. I asked Scott the same thing, Peter. And I mentioned it in my write-up that behind the compost building, we've got a gabion basket wall that's kind of keyed in to the slope there that seems like it's worked well. It hasn't really moved that I can tell. And it's really close behind that building. Mm-hmm. And Scott, I'll let you answer, but it seems like everybody doesn't like those kind of walls anymore.
Gabion? Yeah.
Yeah, one other advantage, Peter, would be the footprint of the construction. So we don't have a lot of place to put a lot of soil pile or stockpile. This wall can be driven in as shoring for construction of the basins. If what I suggest be bid alternate two, the concrete for phase two is accepted, it would be the shoring for that back concrete wall. Gabion and most of the other types of retaining wall designs, the contractor would have to excavate out on the very back side of that hill versus driving these H piles into the ground and then scraping out enough soil to drop the, or essentially good-looking railroad ties down in these slots.
Yeah, the layback on the Gabion wall requires like a 2-to-1, so they're mechanically stabilized back with like fabric or Tensar. And so when you start doing that, you end up honestly excavating just as much as you would without the damn wall. And then you bring it all back in, and the stuff you bring back in can't be the native material in often cases. You gotta bring in imports, so you still end up with 50,000 yards to haul away somewhere where you could have just laid the slope back in.
So this is just kind of cleaner, simpler, probably going to be cheaper. And
I don't know if they had cheaper. It's definitely less footprint and less time and less work. But yeah, I don't know about the cheaper part of it. That's a pretty expensive
So,
setup.
Scott, those pilings, how deep do you set those typically?
That's a good question. We have a detail. I think it's like 10, 12 feet. I mean, it depends on how tall the wall is, but this wall will be, I believe it's 23 feet in spots behind your plant. I mean, you're not going to, just keep in mind, you're not going to see it unless you're back there on the basins or back there in that back corner doing something.
Which is what we've got with the compost building. We're 20 feet there, but you don't see
it. The one thing I will say is like this wood lagging, it's called lagging, the stuff in between the piles. The wood lagging does have you can put a drainage mat on the back side of it, but it does have some life expectancy. Yeah. You know, wood's a little bit more, conducive to rot and everything else. You can do concrete panels in there, and you can do steel like W pile in there. It's just not as aesthetic as that, but it'll last longer. So you can do that in a sheet pile configuration and not worry about the piles and the lags and all that. Just drop your sheet pile at one time and get it all at once. It's just it's a rusty metal wall.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, is this, how do you address the permeability of the water? The gabion basket goes right through with this. How is there?
You put a drainage mat. There's a big mirror drain set up behind like this fabric with honeycomb on it, basically. And you put it on the backside, and you put a perf pipe all the way along the toe of it in gravel, and then it collects all the sheet water out of the ground, or even the surface water coming down, collects on the backside of the wall, and then drains around that perf pipe and the foundation drain, basically.
And do you just drive these pilings, or do you drill them?
You drive them all. They all get driven to resistance, and that's another thing, is you get a certain resistance you're trying to hit, so you retain the dirt up above. And one of the challenges with this setup here is getting them all nice and parallel. You know, they're not easy to have them all nice and plumb and true. So you end up custom cutting a lot of your wood as you're dropping it in there, because sometimes you have it wider and narrower. That's a pretty nice setup right there. They're pretty parallel, but you can bend them. Once you get them in there, the machine can kind of bend them straight. So you can infill that with concrete panels. You can do wood. You can do some other things. You can even do steel in between the steel and slide it in that way. You don't have the wood's a nice aesthetic.
It is. So, as far as cost of this, have you made provisions in our cost for this kind of retaining wall, Scott?
Yep.
Good.
Yeah. It's on the neighborhood of $1 million. It's not significant, but it was always there because we were always trying to maximize the footprint of site.
I guess the question, Scott, is this included in your engineer's estimate?
Yep.
Good. I think the gabion wall we did in 2002 was about $250,000. So this is four times the expense, but we have to do the same kind of stuff with the big retaining walls to maximize our site, available site for construction.
What's your max height, Scott?
I believe it's 23 feet, Mike, but sounds like we've got Cracker Jack reviewer for that design. Our guys have been holding off on finishing it until we basically agree with an alignment for BSCO's side and get the survey in Geotech. But it tapers, of course, as it comes back to the south and then to the west behind their maintenance building. So the tallest piece is behind your basins, and I believe it's about 23 feet above grade.
The only comment I have on gabion you guys have dealt with, I'm sure, Mike, there seems to be good gabions and bad gabions. If you go up to Cascade Ridge, you want to see a bad gabion? That's failed twice. I mean, pretty. And then there's neat gabion and there's not so neat. You know, they're sloppy and they're bulging and they're this and that. Mike, I think the key to that is that fabric in the backside for the moisture that gets back in there, the water and things, because we've seen them blow right out on them. So.
Yeah, I think gabion's a bad idea in this case, just because of the amount of work it's going to take to get to the site.
A helical pile tying back those tallest portions with the plate, so it won't be that beautiful as that photo behind your basins. But once it gets shallower, you can get away from that and just have a cleaner looking wall.
Okay.
The other thing is to do a soil nail and shotcrete wall. You can do that. You can excavate that entire front face and then soil nail it. Bring in a drill rig, put a bunch of soil nails, and then you shotcrete the whole thing. But then it kind of looks like a Zeus game, you know.
Don't you have to? You know, we tried stamping some shotcrete.
You can do all that. Yeah. There's Disney guys that will go and Zeuscape the whole thing and make it look like a boulder wall and stain it all. But I think there needs to be a value analysis done here somehow, Scott. I don't know how, but I would explore a couple different options like this pile and lag, maybe just straight up sheet pile. If it's not very visible, straight up sheet pile might be the way to go. I don't know.
Yeah. So on that note, Mike, we can do enough structural and grading design and get the geotech and survey incorporated, do our DEQ submittal in 3 weeks, but we have 2.5 months before we, if DEQ takes their full 2 months before we can bid this job. So we got time where we could maybe just have you, Ron, and you know, one or two other board members if they want to attend and get into details on how we finish the look of this or other approaches.
Some of it has to do with resources in the state too. I mean, you can't just pick any retaining wall style you want and have someone in here with a hammer and nail sheet file in. That's not everyone has that technology.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that is true with wastewater treatment plant construction as a whole.
Okay.
The budget's in good shape. I think we'll slow down as we're waiting on DEQ in September and October, just moving towards bid. And I think if you ask me right now, I'd say we'd be sitting fine with enough money left in our budget to get through the bid period. I'll get a construction admin scope and fee proposal in front of you all by October.
How many sheets are we up to now with the plan set, Scott? 400 something?
Yeah, we'll probably land somewhere around 430 or so.
So how confident are we DEQ is going to have the horsepower to review these plans in a timely manner?
Well, they got 60 days, and they took all 60 on Belgrade, which is about 300
300 sheets. And it was Perlinski, and he went through with a fine tooth comb. And he loves it, so that we have that to our advantage.
Yeah.
But, you know, Terry Campbell's saying he's going to review it, which, you know, I like Terry, but really would like to get Jeremy to review it just because he's done 10 or 15 of these himself.
Right.
Questions? Comments?
Might have some DEQ trips in our future anyway.
Agreed.
Indirect potable reuses, we have Kunane's most recent draft. He's combined the Firelight Meadows and indirect potable reuse into one report. So it basically talks about the groundwater model, talks about Firelight specifics, talks about indirect potable specifics. And he's waiting on Ron and my review, and then he'll issue a final draft and share it with DEQ. And if anybody wants to see it in the interim, you can make that happen. I think you all know essentially what it says about Firelight Meadows, which is that we need more data to really hone in on the potential value for the district. We did scramble a little hard and got a meeting with Firelight Meadows HOA last week. Worked feverishly on getting the cost estimates for the connecting sewer, connecting water, connecting reuse, and showed them those numbers, trying to get a read on continued interest in annexation. And in general, they're still wanting to participate in the evaluation and potentially chip in on the $133,000 of monitoring wells and year-long analysis of groundwater quality out there to really figure out if there's value for the district in disposal there. So I think if you all work with Ron and come up with a number that you all would like to see from them on that, then you might be able to get Kunane to line that drilling up this fall and get those in and get started with that data collection. For indirect potable, it doesn't look very good to be, that's a very blunt paraphrasing of his report. The travel times and the aquifer thickness are just not there to qualify for indirect. And Montana DEQ doesn't have a qualified, disqualified, but the general rule of thumb is it's been 6 months of travel time in the aquifer in order to get some credit for pathogen and CEC treatment. So we probably wouldn't get that no matter where we put the discharge. And we also still have this issue of potential nitrate getting around our withdrawal wells and hitting the creek at more than 0.1 milligram per liter. Mark thinks he could get 100% capture if you put the wells closer together, but that would put you into direct potable reuse, which is a whole other realm of monitoring and treatment and just care that has to be put in before you put reuse water into your drinking water supply. The take home there is it's not impossible, it's just going to be very challenging and not anything that we're going to be able to make happen fast. Mark was on vacation up until last night. He said he can present that report, you know, in 15 minutes or 20 minutes in September at the board meeting.
And I did include a full copy of the latest draft in the packet, so everybody's got that. And I'll take Mark up on his offer to present it at the next meeting.
So do we have a kind of action item here with the these additional monitoring wells?
We
kind of kicked the can last time, right?
Yeah, at the last meeting, we put the brakes on, you know, just going out and paying 100% out of district funds to do all this scope. And the message was, we'd like Firelight to have some skin in the game and participate and help cost share this. Mm-hmm. When we met with them on August 11th, they didn't have an amount, so they're looking to us to tell them how much they would like to see us cost share or them cost share in this. So we don't have an answer from them or an amount that they're willing to participate in.
It's 133.
What would the other members think about them paying a third?
Well, it's 133K, right?
Yes.
Scott doesn't sound very optimistic.
Well, I think that Tom's on the right track. You just pick a, you know, percent of the total. I think a third is not unreasonable. Well, they're a big HOA.
Right.
And so I would think they'd have enough horsepower to come up with a third amount, or at least that's our start point with them.
Yeah, and to qualify that, that's just the money going forward, how much we already spent on this process. That's just a small portion of what we've already spent. So.
And just the amount of time we spent getting ready for this meeting, I spent a bunch of time calculating the SFEs in there, and got a copy of their bylaws from the courthouse, and then I stitched together a map to figure out how many units and the square footages are all in those documents. So when you start looking at all their information, they've got kind of standard model units, and then they've got some loft spaces, but it wasn't too bad. But they're basically about 300 SFEs total, and so that was one of their questions, is they thought it was going to be quite a bit less than that. Well, it's not. When you look at the square footages, and I think they were discounting the apartments, and they got a lot of apartment spaces, 80 units of apartments, and then so it adds up.
They don't have any metering going on?
They do now.
They just got it.
Yeah.
They packed them in over there.
I don't know. I mean, the 300 SFEs is pretty scary when you think about our plant, our new plant, and applying 300 SFEs to that plant. Even though we get disposal options in the winter, but we're going to have plant issues immediately, or not immediately, but we'll have plant issues fairly quick.
Yeah. Mike, we had a real challenge trying to put a rough number on the value of disposal. We kind of fell back to how many SFEs it would enable you to add to your wastewater side of the ledger, but discounted it by 50% because the district developing those SFE capacities is also about treatment, not just disposal. And using that method gave us $2 million of disposal. Canadian was trying to look at it from an equivalency of storage, and that's another way to do it, but trying to figure out how much storage costs in Big Sky is also very difficult. Just to give everybody an idea, I mean, it's well over $3 million up to $6.5 million to just do all the infrastructure to get it all connected. And then we had $860,000 worth of SFEs or impact fees to pay into. So it's kind of a big deal. But like I was saying in July, you know, it boosts your disposal capacity by like 15%. I mean, it is substantial, but it also, you know, 300 SFEs is a large chunk of SFEs. It pushes you into phase two that much faster.
Well, and we got the 500 we committed to that might contemplate some annexation later on, which isn't in our model as well. So we're dipping into any kind of plant capacity that we had before it's even built. So I guess the question for me is, if we're gonna ask for a third of cost share, is Firelight prepared for this type of map? mean, I don't want to keep chasing, throwing district money at these solutions and coming up with a solution if Firelight Meadows has no idea that this isn't going to be just a tit for tat we take it on. It's $3 million of infrastructure and the PIC charges are huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, let me be clear that my suggestion of a third is only for this study. I think when we go beyond this and construction costs for all these other items, that's a whole new ball game. And I would suggest they would have to contribute substantially more.
Yeah, I guess that we'd have to go back and see what the cost are, and maybe we finance them or something like that over time if they get down to that. I guess we have to understand the feasibility of doing that before we start asking for that kind of cash.
Yeah, we did not talk about what the cost share of any of that would look like. We just said, here's the cost estimate.
Scott, have you heard back from them since that meeting?
Ron called the following day, and they said, yeah, we talked after all the big sky, all the district folks got off the line, and we're interested. He said, sound like you have a number in mind, let us know what that number is.
Well, we have to do this to get to the point where we even have this decision to make, right?
Yep.
Right.
So I would ask him for a third, as Tom suggested.
Seems reasonable.
Do they have any reserves, you know?
I don't know what they are. They didn't offer that in our meeting. I assume they have some. Total flow coming from that, Scott, have we seen data that validates the 40,000 a day, or is that just a number we've been?
They're getting about 23,000 gallons per day annual average right now.
23.
Okay. So we're gonna want them to contribute $44,000 to the $133,000 study.
You gonna make a motion for that?
No, I think it's just business. I mean, I think you have to get their commitment before we make the motion on committing our capital.
So the proposal's for a third, 44K?
Yeah. The concept is the district, you need to ask them if they're willing to fund 44K, and if they say yes, then we'll make a motion to support the other spend.
Are you taking care of the minutes then?
Yeah. Well, you're recording the meeting.
It's all recorded. You mean you're not, Marlon?
I'm making notes on motions and stuff.
Yeah.
How much do we have into this already?
That's how do you spell it?
That's a great question.
Just real rough, you know, ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, think about 100 grand worth of studies between, I mean, even 2018, we looked at this from a conceptual level.
I mean, the fate transport was like 65.
It's probably been 60 or 80, and I've got probably 20 or something.
Are you thinking it's in that summary table?
100. Well, the summary table's got the current Firelight, only the current Firelight. But you throw in the other four? Yeah, so we're close to 100 that we've dumped in that.
Yeah, it's time to say you guys in. I agree with
you.
It's time to just say, are you up for some financial? Because we got to revisit it if they're not.
Right. If they say yes, they're good, then we'll make a motion to spend the budget.
Okay.
Yeah. And
if they say no, it's going to change things.
Yeah.
You hate to say yes, we're going to do it. They say no, and you got to go back. And
I think our business decision is different next meeting. If they say no, then we got to try to figure out if the 133 is worth our value.
Yeah, right. And if we look at it as our, you know, overall cost of this, you know, then they're down to, you know, 20% of the total investment in this whole project. Take what we've already spent. So we're really not asking for that much.
Less than 20 will be 233 into it.
Right. Yep.
This is just an initial gut check for them because, I mean, we still got, if we go all the way through this, it's going to be, what, $4 million?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
a decent number to hold in your head. And they said, you know, we're in it for the long haul, I think was the comment. And they still don't have a number of what it would cost them to buy out HLH. And they were going to go get that for their own internal calculations. But I think, you know, they're up against a number to fix their problem if they don't do this.
True.
Great. So no motion, just that's the direction for staff.
That's fine.
Okay, sounds good.
And there is, in my report, I did put a link in there. So you can click on these PDFs and that'll take you right to that meeting recording. So that's just the part that Scott and I presented. Tom Reeves was also on the call for that. And then what they did after that is not part of that. But I thought it went fine.
Okay. Does that close out Firelight discussion then?
Yep.
Okay. So, and Canadian's report.
Routine work, Linear Park and Powder Light, not a big deal. Aerial survey grant, or Vince has taken that on with TDNH. That'll be good to have. I'm gonna jump bullets here. The struggle with Firelight and the indirect potable difficulties, to me, just emphasize that we figure out some more disposal somewhere, whether it's snowmaking or more storage or disposal down in the canyon. Ron, I talked to Mace yesterday. He said that the canyon paperwork is actually in for district formation, which was good. So at some point, I think the resort tax money will be eligible for looking at groundwater disposal down in the canyon. Meaning sooner rather than later, which made me feel a lot better about having something ready in about 3 years when you would need it.
Scott, who is this district? Who are the members?
Altman's name's always at the forefront, but there's others with him, but don't.
I think Lund Mountain Land is in it on behalf of Bucks.
As far as what went in and who it is and what it means for budgets to start flowing, I'll be able to give you more info in September. But to me, the good news was that it happened or it is happening. So that area groundwater disposal can be the next hard look. And, you know, the third bullet there, the reason I feel pressure to get some things in the queue is DEQ is poking around at capacity. I think they're barking up the wrong tree on treatment. Ron set up a meeting Friday with them to get to the bottom of what they're doing, but essentially they've been telling developers that they suspect that there's not wastewater treatment capacity and therefore won't review their submittals, and we don't understand what they're looking at to make that call. And that call's being made at a lower staff level, and it doesn't really appear that the bureau chiefs know it's or understand it. I don't think any of them other than Terry Campbell understand the square footage per SFE and gallons per year per SFE method that the district uses.
So what's the next step? And I'm sure John Olson would like to know that.
They have a meeting on Friday.
Yeah, but I was going to say, my most important thing is the top priority. Is
this it's not even new subdivisions. So the letter I saw was like a change in use on a current subdivision. It was standard operating procedure, like a 2 SFE change on an already approved deal. It's like just building a building.
Exactly. So I copied some of them in the board packet. BQ will set up a Zoom meeting and we'll meet with them Friday at 1 o'clock. It's the Bureau Chief for Water Division. And one or two other people, so.
They've acted like in their letters that they've already reached out to you for suggested information.
I gave a bunch of stuff to Terry. I'll also send it again.
Well, Terry isn't. Is Terry the?
Terry's not subdivisions.
Terry's not subdivisions.
No, but he passed it on to them. So, but I'll send it again. So what I sent was the ordinances we do releasing SUVs for permitting, all our permit tracking, and then like the last six capacity letters that Ray Armstrong did for us. So we do review capacity at the plant and have for years. We've been very intentional about that, probably more so than any other community in Montana. But
Ron just shared that based on a conversation with Terry.
Right.
Nobody sent a letter or called or anything, which to me is appalling.
Not surprising. Yeah.
So we're trying to get to the bottom of it and talking to the higher ups.
So Scott, you were talking about how this puts us up against disposal and storage, but what can we do now to be proactive in that arena?
Well, if you grow at the clip you were growing in 18 and 19, you got about 3 years before storage, really disposal and or storage are your bottleneck. And it'll take about that long to study it and design it and construct it, whatever it is. So I think we need to approach the resort tax board about drawdown of that collection for was it 16 million total? And use some of that money to look at groundwater disposal down there. I think you all should meet with the Yellowstone Club on the storage up there and figure out when that would come online. And then Spanish Peaks and Big Sky Resort, they're the only ones that can make snowmaking happen. Snowmaking, still want to talk to Rich, but that is looking better, I think. I haven't seen what they put in or what the response has been, but.
Do you got any data on that, Mike?
We talked about all these challenges, just the challenges and the time it takes to get implemented. I think there's reason to look at discharge to the Gallatin as well as a safety factor. I mean, you might chase four or five of these and only be able to implement a couple in 3 years.
Right.
But if you overshoot and are more successful and get three or four, then nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Mike, do you have any data on the snowmaking progress? Are you guys getting any?
Honestly, we're focused on getting our pond, that third pond approved. I'm working on a letter right now to send the district as an update to that pond, but we just got the four deviations that we were requesting with that pond voted on and approved last week.
Great.
So
is the pond approved?
No, just the variances to the pond. So the state of Montana came out with some new ARMs and said your pond can only, these deviations aren't like thread and needle. They have an 8-foot rule. 8-foot depth roll in ponds now for DEQ. Yeah. We needed a variance on that because we didn't have 100 acres to put 8-foot deep.
Right.
We had to put 40 million gallons, right? So that was the one deal there. And there was a couple other small side slope deviations and stuff. They finally voted on it and got that done. So now that the variances are voted on and approved, now they're going through a regular review.
Got it.
This has been a year and 3 months of trying to get this bond up there approved.
What will your debt be, Mike, when if you get this?
I think we're at 23, and you know, and also the freeboard on the existing bond, increasing the freeboard on the existing bond to pick up 10 million.
So total debt, if everything's approved, from the 8 they are now. I'm just trying to get it.
I think it's 23 or something like that. But it took us. I mean, we tried to get the DNRC involved, and they stood away. They wouldn't, because they're the dam people, and they wouldn't be involved with it. And we finally had to get multiple geotechs to do invasive work over there to try to get them solved. But that's the pond. Going back to the original question, snowmaking. The application's in there. They're reviewing it. They're, you know, COVID. They're slow playing that whole review process and trying to get as many people drug into the review as possible, since it's the first one in the history of the state.
Right.
It's sitting in their office and they're pining away on it. So.
They've got 90 days. Is that?
No. That's all off for everybody, by the way.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. All the state statutes for timelines for reviews are been put on hold because of COVID.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah, your 60-day review statute of limitations is now gone.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know when it's going to be reinstated, probably when a vaccine gets out, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know. Everyone's at the whim. I've heard they're turning them pretty quick, but our pond wasn't in that boat. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what about the advanced oxidation? Should we start considering the next phase of the plan, or at least setting some wheels in motion for that?
Well, we will wrap up the indirect potable study, Peter. They'll have what you would need in terms of treatment for indirect and for direct. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't go do that for those purposes. You might do it just to make a more clear path to other people taking your water. Whether it be snowmaking or putting it in the ground at firelight, you know, it's going to go from an exceptional quality to essentially potable or pristine, basically. I would only do that if you felt like it was, or you know, one more attempt to knock down walls to getting more reuse or disposal. Shouldn't be on paper, but it'd be about perception and just selling the water, selling the idea.
And what does that require on our end, as far as what needs to be done next to get that in motion?
Well, clearing out that filter building is part of the contract, the design. Mm-hmm. Got that. We all the pipe to connect that building to MBR effluent and put in advanced treatment and get that dispersed, whether it be to the golf courses or down to the river, is all in the works, so, or in the contract. So you could, if you feel like that's the path you want to go, you could get essentially a full-scale pilot in that building at 200 GPM or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that work was in the conceptual design report. At that time, I think we were thinking that was $6 to $8 million worth of equipment and construction to get that in there. That was not what I would call a 200 GPM kind of pilot scale. That was to take as much of your effluent as you wanted through that advanced treatment. So you could dial that back a little bit, because you're still going to have plenty of disposal on golf courses that doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense to be removing trace organics before you do that.
Sure. What's our kind of funding mechanism for that, or what's the?
Well, the SRF again, it's not in the scope of what we've got right now.
Sure, yeah. But, I mean, it's a complete, basically, all that equipment will be set up to hook up, but any equipment that we get is above and beyond anything that
right.
we've planned for at this point.
Correct.
Well, it would certainly open a lot of doors for us as far as snowmaking and potentially other options, especially with Canyon opening up?
I don't think there's any question how much Big Sky Resort supports snow picking with reuse.
No.
I mean, it is. It went from a much lower priority. You know, it would be incredible to get snow picking out there. Given our water resources, it's just huge.
Yeah.
How are we missing this right now? Like, how do we get this over the finish line?
So, I mean, we've got the YC application in. Are we kind of waiting to see what the reactions are before we kind of try to take another step through Big Sky Resort, maybe? To
is there anything we can do? And Mike, where is the application? I know you said all the deadlines are thrown out, but where is that application, do you think?
In DEQ, we have yet to get a full-on response letter that says we need this, we need that, we need 5 years of this, we need,
action items, we don't have any action items.
We just have some meetings, some questions, some Q&A, and that's it.
So the application is officially in, but there's really no review deadline.
Right.
Got it.
Who's reviewing that,
I don't know.
I think the idea was, since they were gonna beat you out of the gate anyway, to watch and just learn what you had to provide. So it sounds like some of that is already common knowledge of what you would have to do to just get the application going. But I don't know that you can apply if you don't have the owner of the land and the operator all involved.
All right, how do we get involved the resort? Anything we need to do with you?
Unless you guys want to contribute to our snowmaking on the lease.
This is a loaded question.
Yeah.
Well, you asked.
Strike that from the minute.
What are you supposed to say? Yeah, give us some money. That'll help. We'll pass the hat. No.
I think you need something from Spanish Peak saying, we're on board, we want to do it, and here's where it would lay across our land.
Let me get a better update of what's going on with our snowmaking application, because I only know, I know what's in there. I know there's been a couple of meetings. I'm not pushing on it as much as Rich Chandler is. Rich is the one that's running that whole thing.
Brian, do you want to, just approach the broader BSR community and just put feelers out? And
we're fine with it.
Yeah.
Not to be callous, but look, we thought long and hard about it.
So it's not there's really
a PR issue for us now.
Yeah.
If it is a PR, we need to just educate those who oppose it.
Yeah. So it's generally accepted. The concept is about infrastructure. You were mentioning you guys maybe need a pond on andesite or something like that.
Well, I'll say, I don't know if the pond's going to be discussed today with Mike, but I've said for the last 2 years, before we say put a pond here or put it there, it'd be great to know if reuse will be an option so we can place the pond in the best location on all the properties, not Boeing, not Spanish Peaks, not Yellowstone Club. Let's put this thing in a place that has a distribution center ready to go, rather than put it in the wrong place and say, now we have to build a snowmaking pond.
Right.
Ideally, something like andesite area so we can gravity feed down into Spanish Peaks or back into the Big Sky Basin. I don't know.
We're not, I will say this, the request from the district for our third pond, or for the final pond in the agreement is not being driven by potential snowmaking, because it was chicken and the egg, that the district wanted that last piece of storage to be committed as part of the agreement. We're moving full forward on that, not considering snowmaking in our equation. We have to do it, right? So our design there does not incorporate snowmaking. Would it be better to have the snowmaking approved and then incorporate that fourth bond or whatever into that equation? Yeah, but that's not the way the request was made by the district to the developers there to conform. So that's what it is.
But see, I'm saying from the board hat on, mm-hmm. I'm saying given the delay, let's take this opportunity to reevaluate where we are.
Yep.
Look back over the last 2 years and say, is this a better option, moving forward, given where we are today? That's all.
Yeah.
From a Spanish Peak standpoint, and I think we've talked about this before, but we've got all the infrastructure in place to at least start a snowmaking project. So as soon as we know that the DEQ is willing to approve, we can come in pretty quickly with an application. On the areas that we
that'd be great. That
we have the snowmaking. So
it's good feedback, John. You know, looking at Grant's report and looking at this summer, that's a pretty positive report.
Yep.
That we're in good shape on that. It's not like we're backs against the wall. Yep. I mean, these are record flows, but record disposal.
Yep.
So let's make sure we make the best choice, not just a good choice. That's all.
Yep.
And our land's on the table, and Spanish Beach is on the table. Boy, it would be nice to take that pressure off the water side of things.
Yep.
Versus dropping it. Yeah, it just isn't making sense. So.
Absolutely.
Good to see Mike staying on it too. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
He's a bathroom. Mike's in there. Keep going.
It's nice to see wheels in motion.
So Mike stepped out to call Rich Chandler to see if he can get an update on the permit up there in YC.
Great.
So is the Yellowstone Club ready to go if he gets approval?
It sounds like they're moving in that direction.
I'll let Mike answer that when he's
ready. Thanks, man. I'll call you ready. Who said Yellowstone Club's ready to go if they get their approval?
That was a question from Tom.
With what?
Tom Reed.
With what?
Snowmaking, I believe.
So the snowmaking thing, Rich is telling me it isn't a standard DEQ application, get approval, get comments. They're writing a draft permit is what they're doing right now. So the DEQ right now is in a draft permit stage. They're going to put a draft permit, then they have to have public hearings. So they're going to have multiple public hearings wherever they have those, Helena and Bozeman, maybe up here or something like that, where they're going to solicit a bunch of input from everybody else and then aggregate it. We're a ways away from a rubber stamp approval on snowmaking. So the good news, Rich said, is with all of our data we submitted enough data where they feel comfortable in writing a permit. Because you're going to need a discharge permit.
Surface.
It's surface discharge permit, yeah. And because of the runoff and all that. So they're doing that right now. And as soon as that draft of that permit gets issued, they will not make the draft final until they solicit all the public comments. So that's going to take however many months it takes to have town hall meetings, environmental group, public input, all that.
Is that permit based on current treatment standards, or is it based on the new plan standards?
Current. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's good.
The numbers are actually striking at how good it is, especially when you talk about the distribution in your mixing zone across the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We get almost lower numbers in the baseline of the creek anyway. It doesn't help with CMDL, so to speak, but it does help for point source discharge and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Rich says. So whenever you're going for a discharge permit, it has to go through this public comment period. I'm guessing that public comment period is going to be fairly, because you're going to have all the standard players, right? Cottonwood guys will be there, Guy will probably be there talking through it. There will probably be some people that have some commentary for DEQ on that.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Mossy will probably have some comment on it, who knows.
Well, those guys were all in that, the watersheds solutions process where they all kind of agreed that was ideal.
You wait, and then you get there, and then like, well, we didn't mean this.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is Tom, your question is, are we ready to go? We're not putting infrastructure in until we have a permit. So no, we're not ready to go. We're probably another, year and a half away on infrastructure to do it. This is not, I'm not talking about the pond now, I'm just talking about snowmaking.
But you have the land,
Oh yeah, we have the ski terrain, we have the land, and we have a snowmaking plan. We know we want to put snowmaking on this piece of ski terrain for sure. Yeah, we have all that.
Yeah, partial infrastructure.
And remember, we're going for just a 20 million gallon permit. We're not going for 100 million gallons or something like that.
Sure.
We're starting small, trying to start up the prove out the DEQ's pattern of behavior, all that stuff, and see where it goes from there.
Great. All right. Thanks.
You know, it sounds like the comment period will take a year.
You know, I think it probably, Tom, it probably depends on what the comments look and sound like. I think our engineering is very sound, and it's not a self-serving sound, it's science, and they're pretty confident that they got good numbers. If the DEQ is writing a draft permit, the DEQ has determined that our science is sound too, otherwise they wouldn't be doing a draft permit.
Right. But all sounds really good. Sounds like the wheels are spinning in the right direction.
Okay.
Scott, are you about wrapped up?
I'm wrapped up.
Okay.
He isn't talking to
me. Any other questions for Scott before we move on? Hearing none. The Mountain Village well exploration, I didn't have anything to update. I don't know if you had anything, Jim.
No, we're just waiting on a welder.
Okay. September, what we're told.
I will say it's a little disappointing to get pushed off like that, especially considering the weather that's going to come in. And I'm just hoping that we can get in there and do it. But it is what it is. Love to see that done. Jim and I talked a little bit last time about not letting go of the concept of that cascade well up at the top there. A little bit of what comes out of this is going to drive that. But even if we could get any water out of that well that's just sitting there filling the tank, I mean, it just
seems... Which one are you talking about?
At the very top
cascade. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, okay. The water, right, let's call it the water... Water tank well.
Wasn't that the expense side though, as you had to get down into
well,
the
well, so there's some degree of water where we're at right now.
It's a hell of a wetland up there.
Yeah, it's not enough to be a, you know, primary production or the primary, you know, water system well. It would just sit there and fill that tank day and night and take a load off of pumping all this water all the way up to Cascade and back down and this whole rigmarole.
How is the Cascade tank doing for fill? I mean, God, we used to get within 3 feet, and everything was kind of challenging going back. Well, how's everything rolling?
Not too bad. Okay. Yeah. Yellowstone well kind of drives it. Their use is, of course, high in the summertime, but we're holding our own.
Okay. Quality. Are you blending at all with those White Otter wells at this point?
No.
Okay.
No, not right at this point. You
always have that in your back
pocket. The immediate issue we face is if one of our wells went down, our wells are running, then we're in serious trouble in a matter of hours. But so far, so good.
Here's my lunch.
That's a lively ring.
Yeah. Waylon.
All right. Old developments, I've got a bunch of extensions we're processing. I put an overall map in Town Center. This covers the last 2 years of extension work. Some of this work was done so you could do some road building, Linear Park, and some of those areas that are yet to be developed. And then the one in orange there is Romney's new development on Block 6. All the other ones are the Simpkins group and then Romney's ones.
I think I got the Alton has sweet grass. Is it 5 or 6?
What's that, Bill?
Block 1.
Always Hunter King.
He was asking which lots we own in Sweetgrass.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought I had muted. I was asking my wife.
What else? You just had to say honey at the end.
Yeah, I'll move. So that's just kind of FYI stuff on that. The water meter customer portal, we pulled the trigger on that. I put some stuff in the board packet to give you some background information. Terry and I are on weekly meetings with these guys working on setting it up. There's the Water Smart. So the Water Smart will be the platform that people will use, and then we're working with a payment platform, which is Invoice Cloud, which is kind of a separate piece of this, but it's got a lot of options that'll be useful for people to set up ACH payments, paying with credit cards, recurring credit cards. Terry, you want to comment?
Google Pay, and PayPal. They've got another service where the banks issue checks for their customers, and there's several processors that do that. They, instead of us receiving 600 checks a quarter from these processors, we're going to get an ACH from Invoice Cloud. They're going to take the data and then provide us with the customer information, and it'll just be an upload file rather than 600 checks to process. So
that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
So the goal is to have this running for the fourth quarter, beginning
yes.
of the fourth
yeah.
quarter, October. There's a lot of setup involved between the three companies. We have the WaterSmart, Invoice Cloud, and then our current billing platform, Black Mountain. So a lot of these calls are just making sure these data files have the correct structure, and then everybody's working to make that all fit with their respective models. So far, everything's going fine. It's just going to take some time to get it all set up.
Yep. The platform should be available for our customers at least from WaterSmart by the end of September, they're looking like. The payments platform will be incorporated probably in mid-October to early November, so.
Everybody's saying 60 days is doable, so that's kind of the path around.
Yeah.
Thank you. You need to be prepared for that first week in October when the bills go out. There's a lot of irrigating going on, and people are going to be really surprised.
Yep, yep. Well, this WaterSmart platform will give us, we'll have to change our answer machine because the call will be off the wall, but we'll direct people to the WaterSmart where they can go through and they can look at the history of what they did and see where all their usage came from during this irrigation, the current irrigation system. So
that'll be retroactive for
yeah.
summer data.
Yep.
Because
yep.
the meters are all storing that data.
Right.
We can just, great.
Yeah, they're gonna. We're working. In fact, just yesterday, we were working on importing the historical data on the accounts. And as long as the person's been in the property for a while, we'll have the historical data for them to go back and see.
How far back will that go? 3 years.
I think we're trying to go at least 2 years.
You pull out mine, I just want to use an example. Remember last year was this
yeah.
year. You always like to give me that account and wind it down, and I usually like to turn it off and labor it, like see what it does. That'd be great. And then I'll be there in the complaining audience saying this is just wrong. I can see I keep it tight over there.
So what's next, Cottonwood Law?
Yep. Legal, and I believe Susan is on the call. So in the board packet, there's copies of the agreements that we signed. Susan did a good job finding us counsel on this. So we've got one firm out of Helena and one firm out of Denver.
Is that typical to have two firms representing one defense? Do they team up? I've never really been exposed to that recommendation, but I understand. I see what she wrote here.
Susan, you want to comment on that?
No.
I've got one question, and it'll be for Susan, is who's going to be managing this, Crowley or the other law firm?
Is there a lead, a way?
She's there.
She must be on mute.
Well, she's I think that's her.
Hey, Tom, just as a comparison while Ron's tracking this down.
I'm in text.
How's it working for you? And Bill, how's it working for you? How's the Zoom compared to our last meeting?
Well, I wasn't on Zoom last. I was in-house. The voices are coming through. Mike Duquesnoy is breaking up a little bit, and I think that's more of a microphone placement than anything else.
Everybody else okay? Shrop?
Shrop's muted.
Yeah, it's good. I can see who's muted. Shrop, you're muted if you can hear me.
There we go. I was muted. Can you hear me?
We can hear you great. We want to know how you can hear us and how you can see us.
I can hear everybody just fine except Mike.
Wow, it's a first for me.
You know, Mike's so quiet with the way he presents things. He's just a docile guy, you know.
It is, and I did move.
I'm trying to be more extroverted. My wife's been working on me, but might be the mask. Might be the microphone.
I did move the microphone a little closer to Mike.
I'm not going to talk anymore.
Susan, are you able to speak? We don't hear you.
Hey, we're 2 out of 3 right now. All right? We're batting over 500.
Step in the right direction.
Ron, is it possible to get a second microphone so you could have, you know, one on either end?
We could give multiple microphones, which would help with the recording, but I don't know that it improves the audio input the way we're set up, but we're exploring that as well. Which means a soundboard with multiple microphone inputs. So I'm gonna just have Susan call in. She's having trouble speaking. That'll be our conference phone.
Mike, how long was he out waiting for me to come up?
2 minutes, it wasn't bad at all.
No, the gray button.
It was 28 minutes last night trying to come here.
Susan?
Please.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Perfect. Well, I have to tell you, it's hilarious because when I thought you could hear me, I was saying Mike Duquesnoy needed to lean in, and then Tom said exactly the same thing. So it's like, great.
Move the microphone over to Mike. See if we can solve this.
Wow, that's right there.
Right there.
Oh, you got the puck right in front of you.
No, this is new. He just turned this on. Yeah. Yeah, we were running off of that. Yeah. He just dialed that in.
Oh, yeah. Ron. Oh,
So I want to answer Mike's question about, I think it's normal from a standpoint to get two firms. In fact, both firms requested essentially the counterpart. So the Denver firm specializes in federal clean water, and the Doney Law Firm in Helena specializes in DEQ. And so, you know, as I was interviewing firms, both of them requested, said it would be ideal, let's put it that way, to be able to have, you know, for the clean water stuff, to be able to have some firm in Montana who do DEQ, and the Doney firm who does a lot of DEQs, you know, said we do some clean water, but it would be ideal to have people who do a lot of clean water. So I'm pleased with it. I, frankly, am the one who is going to end up kind of managing it, I guess. They've already had a conference call and set up how they're going to communicate between each other and who's going to do what. And then I just actually, Ron sent you an email to loop you in to talk to them later this week. So, and the answer is not due until, and this is somewhat ominous, but it's due on September 11th. So they're in good shape be able to file an answer or do any other type of motion, but the first response of pleading is due September 11th.
What is the typical, I mean, in the state of Montana, Susan, can we recover the legal fees if this is proven to be not good? I can't remember.
Frivolous.
Yeah, frivolous. There you go.
This is very frivolous.
I will have a discussion with the team, but, you know, I don't tell anybody to ever expect you're ever going to see your attorney come back.
Yeah, but it is a legal recovery in Montana?
There isn't, unless it would be determined to be a completely frivolous lawsuit, and I don't know that it's going to go that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So next step for us is just to participate in these calls as needed and wait for their response.
Are you doing anything on the testing side, Ron? Like, what do you have going right now as far as testing the water?
We're not doing any testing. So this fall, when we draw the ponds down, we'll inspect these liners. And if we need to make some repairs to tears, we've done this before over time. And our plan would be to do that again this year. And I just want to talk to the law team about that, if that potentially creates a problem for us. I wouldn't think so, but I just want to get their blessing on it before we do the work. And if they instructed us to start testing, we would, but they haven't yet. So.
Do you draw the big pond all the way down?
We're going to try and get as low as we can, which you never get it to the bottom, where you actually see the bottom of the pond.
Yep.
But we can get her down a couple feet. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 feet. And the most obvious area for inspection are the places where you have pipe penetrations coming through mm-hmm. the liner. Mm-hmm. And then our intake for the pump station is in the far end, coming up through the bottom. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have a problem, it could be potentially in those areas.
We could do some math based on VAPO transportive losses and the...
Well, so that's another thing, you know. You can do a big leak test, but you do that when your pond's full. So mm-hmm. we're not going to be doing that now. Okay. We're drawing things down, and you have to try to shut your pond in. And Spanish Peaks is doing another one on their pond. They just shut in for a 14 or 18-day leak test, and... You go through the math of that to see whether you're in their compliance or not. Mm-hmm. John Olson, you're on the call. Your leak test is what, 18 days on that?
It's 14 days, and it started last Monday. So
okay.
we should be wrapping up here at the end of the week.
Okay.
But we're still taking water up to our upper pond. I mean, Grant's pumping full bore up to the whole 10 pond.
Okay. Do we need a motion on the WECO council?
I've already signed the contract.
Yeah.
You all drafted me to find them and hire them at the last meeting, so I don't think so.
Okay. Did you want any other clarification there, Tom?
No, I'm fine. And I just wanted clarification. Is Susan going to be kind of managing both of the other law firms?
Is she the quarterback, is what you're asking on this?
Exactly.
Yes, that's the intention, is we'll make a conduit, right, between Ron and I, legal team.
Okay.
Quarterback.
Yes, quarterback, sure.
All right. Not to be sexist. All right. Anything else in that, Ron?
I don't have anything. anything else, Susan, unless you do?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, have a nice day. Thanks,
Susan.
Thanks. Thank you.
Susan, you can hit that gray button, Terry.
There you go.
New business, new developments. I think we already touched on this. I put copies of some of the emails I've been forwarded on different relatively small COSA kind of projects where DEQ is saying they're not reviewing any more of those. And fundamentally, I think the issues come down to some staff changes they've had up at DEQ. Rachel Clark left. We've got a new person in there, and the big picture on this is DEQ seems to be looking at this question of whether or not you've got capacity to service all of your obligations that you've got out there, all the subdivisions, all the stuff that's been platted to date. And there hasn't been one day in my 25 years here where we've had 100% of that figured out for disposal primarily. And we've been able to do subdivision approvals for years, and big cities and towns don't build treatment plants for their full buildup. You build capacity, you get to 80, 85%, you start working on it. Exactly what we're doing. And if they're gonna move the goalposts like that and say, well, now you got to account for 100% of all your obligations with the new plant. We're not there with the new plant upgrade on this one.
I would be willing to guess every city in Montana is not at that stage, right? If you were to apply zoning over the top of Bozeman city limits, there's no way their brand new Wazoo plant would be able to accommodate.
Right, and the cities don't play in that arena with DEQ, whereas we do.
No, they're not. They're also not talking disposal and storage. They're talking pure treatment. In the responses in these letters, they're talking about the treatment plant. They're not talking about storage. They're not talking about disposal. So,
yes, those are focused on the plant. And then, so one of the emails I read where they said that even after the plant's built, we're not going to have enough treatment capacity for them to consider subdivision.
So just so everyone's on the same page, it's a pretty significant statement by the DEQ, which is going to have could potentially have huge ramifications to the district. And I'm not speaking for Yellowstone Club or anything like that, but the district has obligations out there for these people to continue to subdivide. In fact, like Town Center has a court order, Big Sky Resort has a settlement agreement, the developers, you know, Spanish Beach has an agreement. And when those applications come down the line and can't be fulfilled, when the court order's been fulfilled and everything else, it can be a significant liability to the district if the DEQ digs their heels in. I have to somehow think you and Scott are going to be able to turn this whole thing around and open their eyes to what's going on. I don't know.
Well, that's the intent. I'm sitting down to meet with these guys, and we'll see where it goes after Friday. But this is a significant change from what we've been on doing and for years and what they're doing currently. And it doesn't make any sense to me that they've changed this view of building plant capacity. And financially, it doesn't make sense. If you're going to build a plant that's designed to be 100% of your obligations, which in our case might be 40 or 50 years of build-out, I mean, that kind of defeats the whole cost-effective reason why you work in kind of 20-year increments of building treatment plants. Plus, treatment plants don't work very well when you build these monster plants when your flow is 30% or 40% of what you've got going to the plant. So none of it makes sense.
Yeah, to I'm not going to use the M word, but DEQ is treating it like it.
Yeah.
So you had to have your plant that you're building in 1972.
Right.
It was a good year.
I don't know, Scott, do you have anything you want to add to this discussion that hasn't been talked about?
Well, the only thing I would add is that Ray's been doing all those calculations and letters you provided to Terry, hopefully got passed on, but there probably needs to be a more formal submittal. You talked to him and he's done, or he would work with us maybe a little bit, or what? Was he completely tapped out?
I think he's completely tapped out. I called Ray last week, had a nice talk with him, asked him if he was working at all in any capacity. He said he pulled it all in June of this year. So, I mean, if you needed some clarification on something, I think he would offer that up, but he's not going to be signing any letters anymore, you know, as Dal and our engineer review of these capacity types of things we've been doing over time. But if you needed some help in transitioning with some of his work, he'd probably do that.
Well, we just, all I have is the letters. I might reach out to him to see what he's got behind those, because he has said that plant can do 650,000 gallons per day, which is going to be piece with DEQ, that, you know, showing them that that's enough capacity for the next 2 years till we get the plant online, the new plant.
Right.
I mean, we're still working off our 400 SFEs we thought we had.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these applications are, we're not talking about tipping over even that, and DEQ, so I don't know where they got their data.
I don't either. Hopefully we can get it turned around. And we've got a lot of data, and we're happy to give them whatever they think they need. But so this is new territory.
Well, that's two denial letters based on plant capacities with the DEQ saying. I guess lovely there. Have you communicated back to both those people that sent those letters to you to say we're looking into it?
I have not. I can. They haven't given me anything formal requesting this or that as far as additional information. Those letters, those emails make it sound as though they've made some formal request, and I haven't gotten anything either by mail or by email from the department. So it's a little, that piece is weird too. You know, you put it in the same bucket, the whole thing is, it's all new and policy shift that doesn't make sense. So.
Well, I think Keith has let Philip know what's going on with Red Leaf, that South Fork application. So, and John's
on the call.
John. And I think in John's case, these are reductions in capacity, reducing the scope of some of these, and they're just stopping your view of all subdivision type of COSA applications.
Ron, they actually approved two of the three submittals that we sent in for rewrites. The two reductions they approved. One that they didn't approve is the on the in building where we asked for like two additional SFEs.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks for that clarification.
They didn't let you use your reductions on that?
No, it wasn't a cumulative of the three applications.
Right.
Yeah, the two that were reductions, they approved. The other one, they have.
So this, in this second application, they're saying that they have sent us a letter asking for more information.
That's what we're saying. He hasn't gotten that.
I keep looking for it. So one of my tasks for this week will be to take what I put together earlier for Terry Campbell, rework that, send it to Tim Davis in advance of our meeting just so he gets the same information. And a lot of it's just explaining how we've done our permitting, and we've got our PE engineer who's been worked for us for 20 years do these capacity reviews for years. And those never go to DEQ. Those are internal to us, and maybe we need to send that to them. I never have, but
sure.
Those are internal for what we do in releasing SFEs for permits. So.
Someone's politicking them. Our friend down here. So.
Well, I think it does coincide with changes in staff. If that hadn't been there, I don't know what we'd be even talking about. So we'll try to get to the bottom of it.
Let's go, Brian.
That's it. What do you have next?
Rest is just FYI, sewer permits. Obviously, there's a lot of permit activity. I've not stopped issuing new connection permits. I don't plan on stopping issuing new connection permits. John's got a few from Spanish Peaks in our office here that I'll be sending out this week.
Town Center.
Town Center going. Montana Club. We need to get that conveyance done. The Montana Club. I think we did all the walkthroughs of the Montana Club. We need to get the conveyance done for that.
But don't you provide us with conveyance agreements?
Yeah, but I need some exhibits from Jim.
Okay. I'll provide one.
And I don't know if there's any permits contemplated up there or not.
What else?
There was an email that was in the general on JK's old house and the booster pump for that. Maybe you want to touch on that, Jim? Marlene put it in there.
If I remember correctly, there was maybe an application to increase square footage or something. Is John? John adding on or something?
He's looking at a new house in 2 years.
Yeah.
Or your question.
I think the issue that was directed toward me was, will it be all metered properly or whatever? The meter is at the base where the ties in. So whatever he does up there will be metered. Any SFE questions or anything like that?
He has a drain field.
Yeah, but so I don't.
He's not doing anything. He's not even doing a remodel. He's 2 years out from a new home.
Yeah.
And Vegas has odds. He won't ever build a home.
Here's the email.
Where did it come from?
Marlene,
but someone asked.
Yeah, this is my response to, I think the question was me, is if there is an increase in water use, will it be metered? It already all is metered. That's simply my response. So I have no idea where this came from, but it was forwarded to me as far as a metering question. So.
I think it was a capacity question, whether they could build more up there.
With that, which would be
capacity for water. Because
they were asking about SFEs, if I recall.
Yes, it's a drain field.
Yeah.
But they're not on our sewer anyway. So right. That's why I was a little confused. I just threw out what I know, and what I know is they're on our water and it's metered at the base, so whatever they use will be.
You got to see what he did up there with his landscaping and everything. That's what you're going to see, a spike in water like you've never seen. Huh. It's a botanical garden, so maybe that's what it's all about.
So as far, we don't need to be doing anything with that.
No, I just really want to make them aware that they have a bit of a fragile system up there.
They do. I know it well. There's about 10 pumps that are down in that vault right now that have all failed.
Right. So it's a challenging system because they're, they have the suction side of that pump is gone down, but that's kind of, they own that puppy, and that's neither here nor there for us. But the meter, all the water flow is metered. So.
Okay. Put that in the file if you would for future reference, please. Okay, what else?
That's all I've got. Unless there's anything else.
All right. Anybody else
on the agenda?
Record.
Tom, Schropp, anything? Record.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Anybody
from the
public?
I've got it. The list of the
Schropp always is funny.
Go ahead, Schropp.
Yeah, I've got a question on the list of the SFEs being requested. That Anna Bullis, Sweetgrass Hills, which I own, our family owns Block 1, Lots 5 and 6. Where is this lot 6?
It's a different block. Schropp,
yeah,
she's right up behind me on Chief Joseph.
Are you talking about Cook's Place?
No, I'm talking Anya Bulis. Let's get that pronunciation there. Anya Bulis.
Block 4.
She's up. She's, you know where she is, Shrop? She's right across from Spanish Pete's condo up in the flat there. Up on Chief Joseph.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it's confusing when you said what your lot was.
Which lot is
it? I'm block one, lots 5 and 6.
I thought it was. No.
This is block 4.
I think it's the block that's throwing this off.
What? Where is it up there?
Okay, it's on Chief Joseph, mm-hmm. right behind my house and up across from Spanish Peaks Condos. Go to
a right here.
Yep, that's it. It's right up in there, a little bit to the, keep going, you'll see it's a little farther over. Keep going left, down, back. Down. No, it's on, yeah, that one maybe.
Block 4, lot 31.
Let's see who it is. Okay, go over a couple.
Block 431.
Wait. Look out. We got to keep our social distancing here. Hold on now. It's right. I think it's right here. Run.
This one. Block 4, lot 6.
Bulis. And Anya Nizinski. That's it right there. Shrop.
Okay. Block 4.
It's a beautiful home.
Right there.
I want to have those things when I grow up.
So I've gotten a few calls about the Cook property. Where is that? Right here? Maybe? Yeah, that's a... Yeah, that's it. So there have been a few calls wondering about the SFEs allocated to this. The owner was thinking they had 10 SFEs. I'm not sure where they got that. The house is connected to us, but it's just the house. There's no additional capacity allocated to that. So I'm not sure where that came from. They're selling that, I guess. It's one of those properties that got connected years ago above the ranch. And then I did talk to Jerry Pate Jr. again. They're working hard across the road to try to make something happen there. Or potentially annexing that in.
I don't want to be the outlier, man. Okay. What else? Anything before adjourning? Okay. Then we're adjourning.
Gotta make a motion.
You know, we don't in half the meetings I do. Someone give me the inside track on this.
You don't
need BSOA, you don't do it.
You don't need a motion to adjourn. Historically, we've always done it.
Okay, okay, let's go.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn because I don't want to be that guy.
I'm not going to vote.
I don't think
we'll make a motion to adjourn.
All right. We covered it both ways.
I'm adjourning without a motion.
All right. Hey, how about that 9:42, man? We actually have a full day ahead of us.
Crazy.